This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this week's after show, fittest podcast. You reckon we're still the fittest podcast in, what do we say, Australia's fittest podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say so. Yeah. We've managed to keep a very high level of fitness, I would say, for being retired professional CrossFitters.
Not the world. There's a fit podcast out there.
Yeah, no, not the world. No.
But Australia. I include New Zealand.
I mean, Ross Edgley has a podcast.
we had on the guy that beat him.
That's true.
Makes us fitter.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But just talking about elite fitness, you did a run on the weekend. You did your 30 for 30 for 30. You did 30-pound weight vest, 30-kilometer run for your 30th birthday, even though your birthday was 2 weeks before it. I joined you for a total of maybe 10 minutes in a run.
No, more than that.
A bit more?
Bro.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
30 minutes?
I think you nearly did a full lap.
Nearly? Yeah.
Yeah, so nearly.
Well, I started running towards you because I wanted to... So basically what happened was, so Raph started this thing. I was doing some work at the gym and then I ran from the gym to the park to do a lap with you. And then halfway... So people that don't know Sydney, Centennial Park is the biggest park that we have basically in kind of the inner city. And it has a loop and the loop has like 5 exits. And depending on where you exit, because the park is so big, it'll spit you out at a different suburb. So I wanted to get one of the exits that spat me out on the road that leads down to locker room, because I had to run to locker room after that. So I kind of joined you 80% or 20% through a lap. I saw you get the hydration and then I just followed you around and then got off at the exit. Right.
Yeah, so you nearly got a whole lap.
Yeah. I mean, I did a long run that day because I ran to the park and then around the loop, half of it, and then to locker room, but not nearly as long as you. So walk us through the day. I mean, we know you had the Achilles injury leading up to it, but you just thought, fuck it. You just went for it.
Yeah, best choice I made was to go ahead and do it. Yeah. I think it's a good lesson because often when you set your own goal, it's like easy to procrastinate on it. But I think because I had a partner also doing it, I was like, I can't put it off. I'm like, it's like not really fair to him. He's like, planned it. It's like, because it takes like a whole Saturday.
This is Will, right? Yeah. So he's doing the exact same thing.
Same thing. And you know, he could do the same thing to me next week then. So I was like, this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
If I put it off another week. So I just did it anyway. It was probably like a 6-7 out of 10 pain before it started.
Achilles?
Yeah. I tried to do tendon warming stuff, his physio told me. It was a total disaster. It made it way worse before. It was like static holds. To warm the joint. But the interesting thing about it was, it's hurting quite a lot, probably for the first 5Ks. Second 5Ks, it was like getting a little bit better. And then probably by 20 kilometers, it was completely gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it was a slow healing process.
So you did the run and you were tracking it on that watch. Your strain was pretty high. It wasn't ridiculous. So I filmed some moments in your run and you seemed like you were in pretty good spirits. Do you think some of the things that you learned along the way, like the hydration and the pacing, getting used to the vest was useful?
Yeah, well, pretty much like, I guess when I started the journey, I could do 4 laps at 28 minutes a lap. And then by the end of this, I could basically do exactly the same thing for 8.
Okay.
And that was kind of my goal when I first did it. And
you doubled your injuries.
Yeah, I basically doubled it. And I was like absolutely destroyed the first time I did it. Like I barely could get in the car. Barely could drive.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It was basically as far as I could go. Like my legs were kind of like seizing up and I was like, this is the end.
Oh, so you were at the end.
Yeah, the first time I tried it.
Yeah,
it was even worse on this next time. Because this time, you know, I think when you joined me, I was about at that point and it was fine. It was like no problems.
It seemed fine. Yeah,
it was fine. And then with you, and you can see it on the whoop data, like with you, I tried to like go faster and I maintained that for about another nearly a lap after you left.
Okay.
But I was sitting like 170 beats per minute for like nearly an hour at that point. And then, like, my legs seized up.
So, let's talk about the data. What was your heart rate and where to get to? Because one of the things I've been doing in prep for this marathon is testing out how fast I can run at 160 beats per minute. And I ain't very fucking fast. So, I feel like I should not use heart rate in this.
I used the heart rate. It was actually quite good. So, I had it on my watch.
Yep.
And basically, when I would start to go up to over 160, I tried to pull back a little bit.
Okay.
And I did that for, you know, 2.5 hours. And then I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to see how fast I can go. I let it go to like 170.
And at that point, were you with me?
Yep, I let it go a bit over with you. And then I like, when you left, I was like, okay, I'm actually feeling pretty good here. And I got quite a bit to go, so I went a bit faster again.
And what'd you get up to then?
It was basically at like 175.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just my pace was like a little bit faster.
Yeah.
And yeah, I held that for probably another 20 to 25 minutes. So it'd been about an hour at that pace. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And then it didn't happen anymore.
Wait, you were trying to do what? You were trying to stay at that pace?
Yeah, I thought I was like, okay, I'm like going faster. Maybe I can do like much better than I'd previously planned on.
Because what was your goal time leading into it?
So my initial goal time was, initially I was like, hey, I'm just going to do the 8 laps in 4 hours, right? Yep. Because I'd done the 4 in 2 hours initially. In the end, I did the 8 laps in 3 hours, 59 minutes and like 38 seconds, right? Literally. It was like literally 20 seconds to go. I was nearly crawling over it. But then during it, I was like, I think I can do better than that. I think I can do the whole thing in 4 hours. And that's 8 minute kilometers with the vest.
Yeah.
So I tried pushing hard with you. I got it down from like 810 to 807. Then I pushed really hard and I got it down to like 804.
Yeah.
And that was the end. Because I'd pushed so hard for like 25 minutes, I got it down 1 second.
Fuck.
And I kind of knew at that point I was in trouble.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing. And then really just like the cramping was really bad.
During the last
45 minutes, it was like, I could barely pick my feet off the ground. I was almost just scraping the ground.
Mm.
Like I was like, I could hear it just scraping the ground.
Where was the cramping? What
honestly,
what
every single muscle group.
What about like
groin,
your back
hamstring? Nah, just every muscle group in the lower body. Yeah. Groin, hamstring, glutes, quads, calves.
Yeah, right. And no amount of hydration at that point or salt.
That's
or
why I started struggling. So everything was working really well. I was having like True Fuel. I was having the hydration supplement.
Not Morton's or whatever.
The Morton's was the gels.
Okay.
So that's why I was like having like the gels and the caffeinated gels. And then I was having the hydration supplements, everything. And that was honestly going really well. And then by the end, I like couldn't bear to have any more of it.
Oh, so you stopped taking it?
I basically stopped taking it. I was having water.
Oh, did you hit palate fatigue? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I just couldn't take it anymore. And that's why we got that advice from Herman, our cyclist friend.
The Vegemite.
Saying, that's why I needed something else.
Vegemite sandwich.
And I knew what I wanted. I wanted to go get salt and vinegar chips because that worked for me in the triathlon.
Yeah.
And I thought, but it just wasn't on my diet. I was so upset. I even told her, I was like, okay, I'm going to go in the store. I'm going to get the salt and vinegar chips. It's going to fix the cramping.
Oh, that's so
and
good.
As soon as I was starting to veer off, I was like, oh, it doesn't fit on my diet.
Fuck.
And I can't break it. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do what good. I fucking can.
It doesn't fit on my diet. Shit.
Bro, it didn't fit.
I know.
That would be the worst day ever. I had to finish this run and then restart
the diet. Yeah, fuck.
So basically, I just hobbled over as fast as I possibly could. It took me 4 hours and 10 minutes for the end.
Yeah.
And then I didn't. And then Will came around.
You said it was 3 hours 59.
That's when I finished 8 laps. But in the end, 30 kilometers was slightly more than 8 laps.
Oh, okay.
At first, I was like, "Oh, that'll be it." It ended up being an extra like kilometer.
Because you're going off what your watch is telling you.
Yeah, so I just kept going to my watch said. It was like an extra just over a K. I was going very slow at the end.
Oh, okay.
I could like barely. It was as fast as I possibly could.
I was watching the end video. You were kind of like shuffling.
I tried to sprint even the last 200 meters, and that was as fast as I possibly.
Yeah, you're going slow.
It was very slow, and then I got to the end. Will comes past. I got another lap. Right, and I was like, "Oh, good man, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna like jog it with you a bit,
without the vest."
Yeah, without the vest. 1 hour later, he finished. I hadn't moved. I was still in the same spot.
Oh, he took it. Wait, what do you mean? He took another hour.
It was another hour,
to do one lap.
No, he had a bit more because he had like a lap and he had the extra bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he probably had 5 or 6 kilometers to go.
Okay, so you got well ahead of him.
I was well ahead of him. Yeah,
because
it slows down a lot.
Yeah, okay.
But I hadn't moved nearly that entire hour process.
Wow. Like you were, because I saw you take the vest off and lie down. You just sat there.
I basically lied down.
So how'd you get up?
I nearly fell asleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then this lady came up to me and was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, I was actually just falling. Even though I had like 400 milligrams of caffeine, I was just falling
exhausted.
Asleep.
So did you like, okay, so now talk me through the aftermath. So, well, first of all, congratulations. Mm. Good achievement. So
I'll tell you the honest aftermath. So
yeah, tell me.
Anyway, I had to stick to my diet. It's the most disappointing thing. So I didn't eat anything like unusual. And I was sitting on, because normally my strain's really low. I never get really high strains.
Yeah.
So I was sitting on 20.4. Will got a 20. He was on 20.7.
Oh my God.
So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try and beat him. And I had to do my second workout for the
day. Yeah, I remember bringing that up.
So anyway, I was like doing some weights. I wasn't doing anything. So I like got back on the air bike.
What are you calling the air bike?
I was at 20.5. I got to 100 calories. I'm at 20.6. I was like, sweet, this is going to be good. And it kind of made me feel a bit better. So I kept riding, rode for like another 20 minutes, going pretty slow. I was at like 250 calories and I hadn't moved.
Oh.
And I gave up.
Yeah, because at that point, who knows
how far I didn't far know. I was like, oh, I like need to eat. I'm like five. I barely eaten. It was like 5,000 calories under. Because I had like no appetite after.
Oh, you had no appetite.
And I, Whoop said I'd burnt 5,000 calories.
How many calories did you consume in the race?
During the race?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we totaled it was like 800 calories.
Okay. And then how much had you had in the morning before? Because obviously you just would have loaded up your stomach, right?
Or almost nothing.
Oh, you tried to stay light.
Yeah.
But you loaded up the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I ate as much as I could yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
And I think that worked pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that worked. I just like never like having something in my stomach.
Yeah, when you run.
And we're trying to start early. And then I like could barely eat after. I think I'd like overdone the gels or something.
And so how did you go the next day?
I've honestly been pretty flat from then until now.
Wow. So only now you feel like you've recovered?
Yeah, second day I was really sore. Day after I was even sorer than the day before.
And Whoop score, red?
Yeah, obviously.
Red all week?
Still red today, but okay. I've had a green.
Okay.
I had a green and I like went back to it, but I've barely trained. I've just been like walking for my outdoor workout. Like,
yeah.
In pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just like done like, we did like boxing and...
Yeah.
Not much. So overall, I was really happy. I definitely think the one thing I want to change is I want to learn about these like vinegar tablets.
Okay.
Because I've heard that what I needed was tablets at the end.
Wait, why are you learning? What, you thinking about going again?
No, I don't want to do it again. But it's happened to me a number of times now.
Okay.
And I did enjoy it. I must say, it was actually really fun. And I realized on the morning, I was like, oh man, I haven't done anything like this for ages.
Mm. Have you inspired yourself to do some other challenge like this in the future?
Yeah, I think they're really good. I think that you learn, like every time you do something like this, particularly something that's beyond when you know you couldn't do it now.
Yeah.
That's where the benefit comes from. Like I think in the short term, I still want to learn some boxing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's going to take some energy and time. But yeah, definitely I'll do probably something like, maybe not my lower body again, but something like this in the future.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm looking forward to the marathon. I think for me, going into this, having you watch do what you did is like the only thing that's really going to get in between me and getting the time I want is an injury.
Mm.
That's it. Because I know when as soon as I start stacking up some running volume, I start to feel my knees go a little bit and I'm like, oh, like if I was in the marathon training right now, I would keep going.
Yeah.
I would be like, I'm not missing your session. But I'm like, oh, I'm not in it yet. I'll just like take a rest. And so I rest the knees, I do some rehab, I move around. But I'm like, it doesn't seem to really, I don't know, it just doesn't seem, despite all the rehab, all the strength work that I do, once I just start, that running volume picks up, it's really hard for me, especially when I start running at the marathon pace.
Yeah.
So I think if I was actually to do most of my training under the marathon pace, I think I would be all right. As soon as that stride length starts to open up and that impact, that force starts getting up there, that's when the pain starts. So maybe I'm thinking, start like really slow on my pace. Say I want to run a 5-minute pace. Start at like 6 minutes through most of my training, 6.5, because it's kind of like that fast shuffling. That's kind of what that pace is like. It's super low impact. Maybe if I just build up enough tolerance there, by the time I get to marathon pace, it might be, because that's kind of what you do, right? You start off really slow, you build a big base, and then you speed up as you get closer, right?
Yeah, I think it'll work, because I think most people, when they do these goals, they don't leave themselves enough time.
Yeah.
I'm going to do one like 2 or 3 months. But when I was thinking about this, I think I did quite well in the end. And like I did pretty much a whole marathon training program from, I think, around October.
Yeah.
Like it was around 12 weeks because it ended in like February.
Yeah.
Maybe like the end of January, February. So it was like...
I thought it was a 16-week program.
Yeah, it was 16 weeks. Yeah. It was about 4 months. I did like miss a few weeks over the... when I went away for the wedding. And I had a few weeks where I missed it and I kept it up. So it took me a bit longer than 16 weeks.
Yeah.
But it was like 4 months, right?
To prep for this.
Yeah. So I did all that with no vest. And then I did like pretty much February, March, April. So I did like 3 months of like a new little cycle, which I wrote myself for the weight vest training.
So now...
So altogether, it was like 7 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I built it up. I could barely run at the start because I hadn't run for ages.
It was pretty good because you only got one injury and it was only in the last week because you just overdid it.
And so I reckon it's because I built it up so slowly. Because at the start, it was one run was like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like 20, 25.
So it's short.
Sure. And the last one was like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. That was it. And it had a deload.
Yeah.
I had a deload every, I think, third or fourth week. I can't remember.
Now that you've done more of that run training, what do you think you could run a marathon in? Like, say you...
So, yeah. I think I thought about it quite a bit and I think the weight vest doesn't make you any faster, but it allows you to run longer. So I reckon I could definitely do the 40Ks now.
Yeah.
Definitely, because like, you do 30 with it, you take it off, it's like, you know, the first 20 feels much easier than the 20 with the vest.
Yeah.
But I think it doesn't make you any faster. I think if anything, maybe slower, because I've done so much slow running.
Yeah.
I haven't run like under 6-minute Ks for months.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because with the vest. So I reckon I would be slower. Like I did a half marathon, like 5 minute Ks. It was like 5:07 or 5:09 with my brother. So probably more like 5:30.
Okay.
I think would be sustainable for the 40 kilometers.
Yeah. Not tempted. not tempted by my Melbourne marathon in like November.
I could definitely do it. Yeah, I could definitely do it. Because I think I have like all the running base now. And I could even take a couple months and do it. I did find it very soft that you were going all the way to Victoria to try and find a flatter course than Sydney.
100%. Well, look, I'm going to do this once. Okay. And I'll be obviously bragging about it for a long time, especially on the podcast. I have to make sure I'm bragging about a decent time. If I get like 4 hours, 20 minutes, bro, I'm going to have to do it again.
Yeah, I'll consider it. I want to get my legs strong again because I've missed a lot of body lifting.
Yeah.
Do that. And then I can just get massive thighs, get the most chafage of anyone on the course.
Did you? Oh, yeah. So did you lose weight during this whole thing?
Yeah, like 1 kilo.
Oh, okay.
But I think there was more from 75 hard.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's give him a 75 hard update. I am at day, I think today is officially day 60.
Oh, wow. Nearly done.
Yeah, so I think, day 60 today.
I'm on 54.
And I definitely have had this last few days. I think I've gotten into a little bit sloppy with it. And I've ended up with a lot of stuff at the end of the day left to do. And it does suck. It's like, but it sucks, but it is also a reminder. And because I've had so much discussion about the challenge with so many of our clients and other people that are interested in it, it is a good reminder that you have to stay organized, but it's also a good training tool as to like, wow, I've still got like 3 or 4 things to do. I really don't want to do this, and you have to do it. And that's like good lessons, right? There's always stuff that you really don't want to do. It's never a convenient time. It's not the right time, but you have to get it done.
Mate, it's honestly such a hard challenge because same things happened to me, whereas I was like, got in a rhythm of it. Some days I even forgot I was on the challenge. Mm. You know, like it was easy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, dude, it's done. Yeah. Done. And then... Yeah, then there's been some times more recently where then I just got lazy with it. Just haven't thought about it even because other stuff's happening. And I'm like, man, I've done like none of my challenge and it's like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'm in big trouble. And that's just like disorganized, I guess, you know. So, it's not good. But yeah, I really encourage people to do it. We've even got some clients doing something similar to 75 hard. We've talked about with clients.
Some variation.
It's really, really good. What you notice, I think, doing the challenge now is like I've started to decide, okay, I'm definitely going to do like these 3 things unrelated to the challenge tomorrow. And I think before the challenge, I would say that and very often maybe 2 of them would get done.
Mm.
But now I'm like, oh no, this is like, in my head, I'm like, it's kind of like the challenge. Mm. This is like part of the challenge for me tomorrow.
Mm.
That's like, I think one of the best things you get out of something like this.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm going to set myself like a, because now I've been thinking about, oh, what am I going to do at the end of this challenge?
Mm. That's exactly what I've been thinking
about. Yeah, because it's one of those things, it's like, all right, cool, there's daylight. We're pretty much done at this point. Like, what is next? And obviously, the marathon training is going to start. I think that I'll write myself, not like a new challenge, but I'll write myself like, hey, these are the things that you have to do every day. So, I'll keep some of that stuff and I'm going to add some new stuff because I added some business-related stuff and I've been doing that mostly. And it's just, I just want to keep it as habit for as long as I can. And I realize that now, because the pressure of a challenge, a public challenge is not there, there will be days where I'm like, ah, you know what? Today, I'm just not going to go for that walk, or I'm just not going to do this, or I'm just not going to read the book. Like last night, for example, I'm like, fuck, 10 pages at 10:30 p.m. Yeah. I have to be up at 5. 100%. There's just some decisions like that. I'm just not going to do that. It's just stupid. But, you know, majority of the time, I want to get it done. Majority of the time.
Now, the power of commitment is amazing because that's really what most people want. You want to be able to like commit to a new goal like a marathon and just be able to follow through with it 100%.
And I'll tell you what I find interesting is like because when we kind of bought into the PN methodology, which is the one habit at a time approach.
Precision nutrition.
Yeah, because your likelihood of success is exponentially higher when you change one thing at a time, which you can't disagree with that data. That's the data they have and it's from tens, if not hundreds of thousands of applicants. But I think what it has also made me realize is that because you buy into that so hard, you're like, I'll never do more than one thing at a time because my chances go down. But your chances don't go away. Your chances just go down. So when you can set up a program or a challenge or a structure in which that you can stack 4 or 5 things, because look, at the end of the day, if I can change 4 or 5 things consistently over a month versus 1 at a time over 5 months, I'm going to go for the faster route. But I would always avoid that, even with clients, because I'm like, your chances go down. I don't want you to fail. But sometimes you just got to have that honest conversation. Hey, this is going to be really fucking hard. Set the expectations in the right place. But if you really want to change, if you have the right motivation, you can get it done. And so I think I've been having more of those conversations where I'm less scared to kind of recommend more stuff to people if I think that their motivation is high enough. If someone comes in, they're just like, oh, you know, like, let's just kind of take this slow. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll just do one thing at a time. There's no need to rush this. But if someone's like very ready to be committed, I would almost talk them out of it sometimes. But now I'm like, nah, you can do this, but it's going to be really fucking hard. But let's do three things. Let's try and stick to them. And, you know, let's make it happen. But it will be hard.
Mm.
And you'll have to track it. You'll have to remember it. And you'll forget. And you'll have to start again. But ultimately, I think that if you can get more done, if you can be more committed, it's worth it.
Yeah, and one thing I realized is like that data around hey, it's the best way to like slowly change your habits for a diet. It is very true. But it is always still, that's the average.
Yeah.
So like on the average population, this is what works. You might be an outlier of the population.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
There's outliers. And there's some people that attack doing like, then if it's not exciting, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be it. Like I think even for us, you know, probably not just the average person.
Yeah.
Either, you know, the average person, yeah, it's one thing is a lot. I'm not saying we're like superior to the average, but it just means there are other methods. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the benefit. Oh, it's like, you know, it's big change to your life, but sometimes it has a bigger impact.
Yeah. It is interesting. So last thing we'll wrap before we get to the listener questions. So my brother gets out of quarantine in Sydney, which is good. I don't know if I told this. Did I just tell the story on the show the last few weeks that he went into quarantine? He flew there, turned around, flew back, whatever. Anyway.
Point is, he ended up in two-week quarantine in Sydney.
Yeah, short version of the story is he lives in New Zealand as a professional fighter, was cornering one of his other fighters who had a fight in America, so they all flew to America, but he got turned away at the border. The theory being that he had visited China a few years ago. That was apparently the what seemed to be the actual underlying issue here. So good work, America. And then, so got turned around, flown back, so held in a room for 8 hours, only with water, no food, nothing.
What?
Yeah, no phone, nothing. Confiscate his passport.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. And flew back. And
did you do like push-ups and shit? What did he do?
I just sat there.
Fuck.
Yeah. And drank water and starved. And maybe did some shadow boxing or some shit. But anyway, so got put back on a flight to Sydney. Landed in Sydney. Tried to get on a flight to Auckland, but obviously they flagged him.
Oh, he tried to go straight home.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were like, they flagged him. They're like, hey, you've been to San Francisco. You can't be in this area. And so they put him on a flight to Sydney, gets stuck in quarantine, comes out of quarantine. Haven't seen him in like 2 years, so saw him, which was great. And now, just getting back into the flow of things, doing some boxing with him, which has been super cool. But the whole thing, what was interesting about it is, and I think everyone has had this experience in some way, because everyone, unless you're, I guess, fortunate enough to live really close to all your family members, hasn't seen some person that they know in a very long time, someone important to them. And I think if what's interesting is when my expectation was like, fuck, it's, you know, it's been ages, I haven't seen you. But I don't know, with the internet and Zoom and calling and like texting every day, it does just feel like you're picking up where you left off. It doesn't actually feel, I guess 10 years might be different to 2 years, but it doesn't feel like, oh my God, this is so different. I haven't seen you in forever. That was my expectation. But, you know, I think what happens with a lot of people is they get really homesick. They miss home, especially a lot of people that live abroad. They miss their family, blah, blah, blah. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's they feel bad for saying it, but they have the experience of getting there. And then really within a couple of days, the whole experience is like all the novelty is worn off.
Mm.
And so maybe you're just like building up this scene that you're way more homesick than you are. You miss people way more than you do. You know, you miss all the good things about some different place where you're not. And then you go there and it's good, obviously, and you miss those things and you love it. And obviously, this could be completely different to everyone. But I think a lot of people have the experience of like, all right, cool. Now back to my normal life. And they're just like, okay, I get it. Because he's here and he's loving it. But I know that he's like, I want to get back home now. Mm. You know, he's seen everyone. Yeah. He wants to get back to what he's doing, right? Being a professional fighter. Like he doesn't want to waste time here, but he doesn't want to spend any time more than he has to. I think that a lot of people are sitting there going, man, I can't wait to get home, do this, do that. I mean, we've had the experience of so many clients because there's so many people that live abroad here that obviously are from England or Ireland or South America or whatever. And I reckon they, and I actually, obviously speaking completely out of term here, but I think a lot of them would have this experience where, you know what, I fucking miss home so much. Like, the pandemic's made me realize it. Like, Sydney's not as good as it has made out to be. I'm going to go back home to Ireland.
It's not
like,
even hot.
Miss the family. And it's just where my home is. I miss so much. They go there and instantly, within a week, they're like, I made a fucking massive mistake coming here. I just think that's the experience a lot of people have.
Definitely, I think with COVID, there was a lot of people that had like no real intentions of wanting to go home. And as soon as the government was like, you can't go home, they're like, I'm trapped, I'm in jail.
Yeah. You exaggerate in your mind how much you miss it. You think you miss it more than... It's like an ex-girlfriend, right? You're like, fuck, we got along so well. I miss her so much. She was way better than like my current girlfriend, blah, blah. And you forgot all the reasons you broke up. You forgot all the reasons that you left home. And then you go there and you're like,
fuck.
Huge mistake. This pub is not... Yeah. This pub is shit. It's the same people. You're like, oh my God, I wish I... Now you can't go back.
Yeah.
Now you fucked up. So... I don't know. Maybe if you're struggling with that a little bit, maybe that helps because I don't think the experience of like, oh, I miss this thing so much is actually as bad as you think. Yeah, I think you'll get over the novelty pretty quick. Anyway, before we jump into the listener questions today, we're looking at a beautiful tub of the True Protein Electrolytes. You mentioned you use the True Fuel on the run, which is awesome. So they're building in some more kind of endurance-based products into it. But some other stuff that we've mentioned as well is they also have the nootropics. You and I smashed some of that last week. Found out it has a lot of caffeine.
Spark and Calm. Spark has caffeine.
Yep. So some great products there. Obviously, True is constantly releasing great products. And surprisingly, in America, we had some really good feedback. Some of the American Mind Muscle Project contingent ordered True Protein because it obviously ships to you guys now. And they got the bars. Absolutely loved the bars. The highest rated bars, which is crazy because America is the land of protein bars. It's their favorite bar. So... True Protein, great work. So pump for that. And guys, if you want to make sure, like, we basically give True Protein to all our clients. And if you want to jump on the bandwagon, basically put, you know, you're putting the most processed food types in your body possible. And if you're not getting really good ingredients, you're going to cause yourself some long-term issues. I reckon some long-term GI issues. So if you're going to put, you know, processed powders and, you know, vitamins and minerals and stuff in your body, you want to put it in with one of the most trusted companies there is. And that's why we haven't shifted to any of the massive big global brands that always come knocking on our door with bigger paychecks, is because True Protein is legit. So the mymuscleproject.com/trueprotein is where you guys can get the discount code and use that as you need. Okay, first question.
Some very good ones this week. Prasa is struggling with he's staying one-on-one as a coach. So he's thinking about, right now he's one-on-one as a personal training coach.
He's the PT?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I clicked on his account and he seems like he's a good trainer. He just won like trainer of the year for his line of gyms. He's thinking about either branching out into his own gym and space or buying a franchise and creating like his own little vibe to it, or stepping back and growing his business more online to reduce the face-to-face contact. So I guess he's like struggling with deciding which avenue to go down.
No, that's a good question. So I actually had breakfast this morning with one of my clients and he was saying how he works in cyber securities and stuff. So you know who I'm talking about. And he was like, our industries have a lot in common. They're both really new. They're exploding really fast. And he was giving me an analysis. He's a very, very smart guy. He's giving me an analysis of like how industries work through their growth periods. And he's like, because his industry, which is like the cybersecurity sort of industry and the fitness industry, they're so new, they've really only come to prominence really in the last 10 years, right? Main popularity. He goes, you basically get this massive entry of people because there's no established best practices. There's like not enough regulation around the industry. There's no like, I guess, vetting process for are you legit or not? So many people get into it, right? Which is like any PT right now, right? They want to become a PT. It's so easy to become a PT. To be a gymo, so easy to become a gymo.
Yeah, it's chaos.
How hard is it to open a law firm? It's fucking hard. You got to do like, you got to be super switched on. You got to study law. Then you got to like pass your bar exam or whatever it's called. Then you got to like be a lawyer until you get your license. Like there is a lot of processes that go through to become in an established industry like law versus fitness basically has zero regulation, right? So it's like basically what you get is this initial phase, this first decade, which we're kind of going through, where just anyone can get in. Which means that you're just getting this whole mix of different standards of how things are going. And then what happens is you move into this like next phase, which we're going into, this kind of intermediate kind of teenager phase of the industry, where you're getting this, you're getting, some of those people are getting weeded out there's better people staying in. But what is happening now is the cream is really starting to rise to the top and separate themselves. The bottom's kind of dropped off, but now you're getting a lot of mediocrity. So you're getting like a lot of average people. So before, you're just getting a huge mix of everything. It's pretty even spread. And now people are like, oh, no, these are best practices. This is how you do it. And people that are coming in with like business minds. So you see guys like F45, they come in, no fitness background, just a business person. Another massive public company, Viva Athletic, huge, massive turnover. Been around for 16 years. The guy's like 100 kilos overweight. He's just a business person. He's just a numbers guy, right? So you're getting these really sharp business minds starting to separate in terms of and really elevate these brands. People like us, I guess, kind of moved up the whole hierarchy. But now what you're getting is this massive amount of mediocrity, really average gyms. And soon, eventually, what you'll see in the long run is then the average, the middle will drop out. And what you'll get is really, really high end. And you'll get sort of just low end average. You'll get the Anytime Fitnesses, the franchises, the F45s, and then you'll get the really high-end boutique gyms. And there won't be, if you get stuck in the middle, you'll die pretty quickly at that point. That's kind of happens with a lot of industries. So, I mean, think about like cars, right? There's kind of like your affordable car that the vast majority of people have, and then there's all your high-end cars. And there's not a lot of people just kind of sitting in the middle. So that's like mature industries, how they work. And that's kind of the phase we're moving into. Now, the mistake you'll make here, and this happens with all professional services, is that you think you have the skills of a business owner as someone who delivers the professional service, which I guess, you know, in many ways was the mistake we made. But obviously, it worked out for us. I think we're the exception, not the rule. For the vast majority of PTs and coaches that then try to move into a business owner, so run a franchise, open their own space.
It wasn't exactly our mistake, though, because even when I think when we were opening the gyms, I never thought of myself as a really good trainer.
Yeah,
I was like, no, I'm pretty keen to like try and run a business.
Yeah. Okay, well,
so mindset was a little bit different.
Your mindset was a bit different. I think I had to, I thought I was more of the trainer and the expert coach, and I think I had to adopt that more over time. And I think that really just came from, I tried some of the business stuff, like the marketing and the sales, and I enjoyed it way more. Mm. And I was way better at it. And I was like, oh, sweet. And I just lost my enjoyment for coaching. I was like, yeah, it's good, but I'm limited here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, obviously, as we matured over time, it worked out well for us. Now, this is the mistake that you'll make as all coaches and all PTs that succeed extremely well as delivering coaching, which is only one very small facet of running your business, and you think that that will carry over into running the business that delivers that service. These are completely different roles. And they're almost entirely exclusive. They have nothing to do with each other. Some of the skill sets very rarely cross over. Probably the only skill set that crosses over is sales. It's like you kind of have to sell as a good PT because you're constantly selling yourself and your service and you're selling clients to stay. And then there are sales is part of people joining a gym as well. And that's pretty much where it starts and where it ends. So I would just be very careful. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to set your expectations in the right place. I think anyone listening to this, same sort of thing, because having the experience of going, like, because we've been there, right? So going as a coach that can deliver an amazing class, people love you delivering PTs, making really good money, and then thinking you can run a gym and having to find out all the shit that's involved with running a gym and how different your life is, how different your schedule is, it just may be not you what you don't want.
Yeah.
There are other ways to do it. So I do like the online route. Mm. I think it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're different. I don't have too much to add. I mean, exactly what you said, which is, you know, both of these things, you maybe need, I don't know, like 100 skills. Training clients is one of those 100.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware that like you're very far off, even if you are trainer of the year, being really good at these two things. I don't know. Maybe you have these other skills. I just don't know that much about you. So the online can be good. I think they're just really different. I mean, buying a franchise, building a gym, they're actually pretty similar. There's like some differences there, but they're pretty similar how you're going to spend your time. Whereas online is quite different. I think probably the biggest thing is that when you go and you try and do like a physical space, you take on a lot more risk than you do online. But I think you're probably your odds of being able to run a business, have staff, get some time freedom and grow it is probably higher than online because you've invested more and the barrier to entry is a lot higher.
Yep.
You know, if most gym owners are like take out a lease, work hard, have a good hustle, they can maybe not make it a wild success, but generally make it like reasonably successful. And if you keep pursuing it, you can make it very successful. Whereas online, you know, the risk is not there. You don't need to take out some big lease or like buy all this equipment, but you would probably, I could almost definitely suspect the amount of people that try it and then end up with staff and a business would be very low.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're just different, right? Higher risk, but the maybe more of a long shot.
Yeah.
So you're going to decide where you want
to
start.
Yeah. And probably the last thing I'll add to that is like you have to really think long term when you make a decision like this, because, you know, investing in a 5-year lease at a facility,
you can't change that.
Exactly.
You can't go back.
Exactly. So how much, you know, really think about it from an honest perspective. How much money do you want to make? What do you want your life to be like? What do you want to be involved in? Because I tell you right now, if your plans is just like, yeah, I'll just open a gym and like do it myself, you're going to take on all the stresses and you're going to earn the same amount of money. And
you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Yeah, if you do decently well. So really, a really good way to look at it is if you do want to, you know, and this is not for everyone, but if you want to be extremely wealthy, if you want to do extremely well for your life, if you want to have a lot of money and wealth in the future, then this is a much better path than being a coach. Mm. It's just, it's facts, right? So that's good. I think that now you're on the right path here. But, you know, if you just like what you earn now and maybe you only want to earn a little bit more and you like the lifestyle and the responsibilities.
I mean, maybe he could stay what he's doing and he could earn double as much. There's definitely trainers that earn double as much as him.
But you'll never earn 10, 15 times as much. And if your goal is to earn 10, 15 times as much, the business owner route is eventually what you need to start looking into.
So exactly, Think about your goals. Here, Shep. Very strange name. Here_Shep. Struggling to work out if I'm too early in the game to build a social media presence. I'm training to be a personal trainer at the moment.
Too early or too late?
I'm too early in the game.
Oh, so I think he's like in his career.
Yeah, too fresh.
Yeah.
In fitness, I'm assuming. I'm training to be a personal trainer at the moment. I've nearly completed my Cert 3 in fitness. So he's 1 year in and not sure how to start shaping his brand, which he puts in quotation marks. Now could impact me in the future if I decide to change the direction of my business later on. Please send help.
Send help.
Brand.
Okay, so good question. Another business related question. Now, yes, there is an element of this is the problem with social media, right? Is that everyone has a voice. But should everyone speak and have a voice on certain topics? Well, of course, you're entitled to your opinion, but you know, your opinion can still be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And very likely when you are, yes, in the early days, your opinion is going to be in many ways wrong. It might be correct just to some degree, but most likely without a lot of experience and a lot of years, which is just something that you can't fast forward. It's very, very unlikely that people are going to turn to you as the expert, right? Which is, I guess, what you're trying to be in some ways. So you need a different strategy to build your brand. You know, if you are really early on and you aren't confident and you don't know a lot, you haven't worked with clients, you don't have the years and the experience, you don't have a lot to say or really, you just need a different strategy of how you would go about it. You're not coming from a place as the expert. Maybe you need to be a person right now that shares really well the advice and teachings of other experts. Maybe you can be a great connector for people's advice. There's a lot of people do really well with that. They share other people's content, follow this person, they're really good, this is their breakdown, this is the stuff I use with clients, this is a great methodology. And you're kind of just repurposing other experts and just add your flavor to it. Hey, I really agree with this guy, he's really good, I follow, you know, Lane Norton for this reason, he gives the truth really well. Hey, check this out. You're still providing value for your audience there and you're associating yourself and your brand with these other experts. And I guess in many ways, that's what we did in the podcast in the beginning. We asked a lot of questions. We didn't have an after show, right? We just had an interview. We just sat back and we said, we're beginners. You're the expert. Here are the questions. Deliver the value for our audience. Now, over time, what, seventh year doing this, because we've done so many interviews with, you know, what is it, 300-400 interviews at this point with, you know, some of the best or the best experts in health and fitness. I mean, there's not many left that we haven't had. We kind of have seen the patterns. We've seen the first principles that have emerged from all this stuff, and it, by virtue, has made us the expert. Now, always remember, I'm looking at it on this board here. Episode 30, our old coach from CrossFit Active, Adam, he said to me when he came on, look, even if it doesn't work, even this podcasting doesn't work out for you guys or you never make money off it or whatever.
Was he on the show?
Yeah, he was.
I can't remember.
Yeah, at Marrickville, upstairs.
Oh, wow.
He came in one night.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he said to me, you know, at the end of the day, the worst case scenario is you interview a bunch of experts and you learn heaps and you guys become experts yourself. And that's really what happened, you know? So I think that's a great place to start, is like just be a sharer of other people's information, be a sponge for other people's information, and give them the credit for it. Don't just like write it off as your own experiences or whatever, because you don't really have those yet, and just build that over time. And that's just going to require patience, you know, and stuff that you start to build more confidence with, you know, it's going to do really well. Share testimonials of your clients, prove to people that, hey, I'm doing this, share a bit more of your own journey. But yeah, I would never become the authority or try and be the authority or the expert, because yeah, you're not, and it won't feel right.
And then for this last part of the question, he's worried about if shaping his brand now could be impact his future negatively because he might change the direction later. I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
Because, you know, we did the same thing with the show. Like, we just talked about, like, in detail CrossFit stuff in the beginning. And it was great because that's what we were doing. And then we changed the direction of it later to match more our audience and us. It was fine.
Brands are...
It's always changing.
Yeah, they're dynamic entities. Like, they are living creatures. They always change and evolve and...
So you can, really never be worried about that.
Exactly. We've changed so many fucking times. Like, I can't even tell you.
Changing in the middle of this show.
Yeah.
All right, Maddie Cannon, last question. Fitness related one. Struggling to find my why after being injured yet again. I've always played team sports or done CrossFit classes. He's now 33 years old and he's retired from sport. I'm finding myself struggling more and more with self-motivation. Any tips on transitioning from the next phase of my fitness life? I've already signed up for your mobility program. Seems like a good start. If you're 33 then, yeah, probably.
I reckon if you're 33, bro, like, you're fucking done. Eh? Like, just, that's over, bro.
Don't even consider your heart rate getting elevated.
No, I mean, 33, you are young. You are super young. And you don't have to give up on anything. Everything's still on the table. Obviously, maybe not at the same level.
Mm.
But, you know, we had to go through the same process, right? Your journey, I mean, I never played a high level of sport, which I've gone into detail on the podcast. I just played a lot of sports, but you played high level rugby, right? And then you kind of got to this point where you realize, oh, this is probably it for me. This is the peak. Enjoy it. And then after that, you're looking for the next thing. That was CrossFit, right? And then you became really fucking good at CrossFit. What did you finish at regionals? What was your...
28th.
28th. Yeah. So you're top 30 in Australia. Fittest, like, massive achievement. Obviously, way up in that sport. And then you realized... Fuck, I got no pecs. Like, I can't keep doing this.
I'm done.
Well, what's next? And now you find other things. So it could just be you're in this phase of like trying to find out what's next. But I think before you find out what that is, because yeah, if you're a competitive person, you like to have challenges. Like, you know, that's why I'm setting the marathon.
Yeah.
And the strict bar muscle up. It's why we did 75 hard. We like to challenge ourselves and we'll always find new challenges. Even if you don't, I could have never predicted that I would, you know, set the marathon as the goal 2 years ago. But you'll always have different things. It might just be, how lean can I get for summer? Or how jacked can I get this winter, right? Just small things like that. How closely can I follow Project Mobility? All these sorts of things. But I think it's always important to keep in mind, and this is something that I think switched for me after I sort of finished with competitive CrossFit, was keeping your body healthy and looking after your body and treating it with respect and like getting it the recovery it needs and looking after injuries needs to be the underlying priority to take on any challenge. Because unless your body is healthy, unless you're fit and strong, you will not feel up to taking on anything, which is kind of what he's explaining, right? He's injured right now. He's feeling down. The priority then is when you're in a position when you can't do some things because of an injury is to heal up and, you know, do the rehab, do the mobility and look after your system.
Mm. Yeah, I think it sounds like you love team sports. I think obviously you could just do another team sport, right?
Mm.
Might not become the best in the world at it. Yeah, but these people do axe throwing, right?
Yeah,
you can get into team sports and it sounds like you would enjoy that, but I still do think there's probably something fundamentally wrong if like you have to be currently engaged in a sport or like, about to do some sort of challenge to like train well and train frequently. I think you've got to try and find like some internal motivation that allows, oh, I've got like 6 months, like no major events, focusing on something else like my family, but I still want to train hard, I still want to make improvements.
Mm.
I think if you can get to there, you're in a better place. And then anytime you can jump in on a sport, because you're in good shape. But if it's like, no, it's half, like if there's no sport, there's no point. That's how I used to be before. But I think a better place is like, no, it's just such a high value for me that I'm always working on it.
Yeah. No, well said. Well said. Okay. Now, guys, before we jump into the last part, our Netflix reviews, you have heard that we are doing something that we have not done before, which we're very excited about. We are doing, basically for anyone in this month, in May, that purchases a project program, you are going to go in the draw. Okay, so when you purchase this program, sorry, you need to go the mymuscleproject.com/programs, see all the programs there. We've got the Project Mobility, Project Strong, Project Body, Project Fitness, any of those programs, or the first phase, second phase, and you use the code giveaway, you will go into a draw, okay? And in that draw, the winner will be picked, and we will basically have a half day with Raf and I and Connor. We're going to put you up in a hotel, a nice hotel in the city. We're going to take you to the studio. You're going to go through, you're going to sit in and ask a live after show question. So we'll strap you into the microphones. We'll sit in, we'll do the show like we're doing now. And then we're going to go to Locker Room, obviously our new gym, exclusive, industry and business leaders. You don't have to be an industry and business leader. You are our VIP guest for the day. We'll do a workout and then we'll go to our favorite spot for lunch afterwards and we'll shoot the shit. And I guess if you're a business owner or whatever, this is extremely valuable to you. You can pick our brains on any stuff that you want regarding business related stuff. So that is up for grabs, that super prize. All you have to do again is go to the mymuscleproject.com/programs and then choose any program, use the coupon code giveaway when you check out and you will go in the draw to win that. So we're excited. We're definitely excited.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
It's going to be good fun. Awesome. Okay.
I just hope the COVID stays away for this.
Yeah. I think we'll be all right.
If you have COVID, do not apply.
No, do not apply. But I'm immune, so it's all good. So we don't actually have a Netflix review for you today, but there are some new movies on Netflix. So I thought I would tell you guys my favorite movies on Netflix right now, so you can do a potential rerun of any movie if you're just looking for like a sick movie on a Saturday or a Friday night. So first, and they just brought it out, I'm due to watch it again, Straight Outta Compton, which, if you didn't know, is my all-time favorite movie across all genres. That is, I can put that on anytime, any day. It has, obviously I love hip-hop, so it is the birth of like gangster rap, which is sick. It has highs, it has lows, it has all my favorite songs, it has The Journey, it's got Ice Cube's son. Like, you just, there's like nothing more you could want from that movie. It's done so well, and it is by far the best rap movie that there is, that nothing else comes close. So that's number one. Make sure you watch that. And if you don't like Straight Outta Compton, we can't be friends. I think actually you should stop listening to this podcast. Just kidding. Second movie is Fury. Have you watched Fury?
No, never even heard of it.
Bro, Fury is a war movie with Brad Pitt, and it's about a tank contingent. So it's like all the guys that operate the tank. So like the driver, the periscope guy, the main guy that shoots the shells, like the gunners on the side and stuff. So it's like four or five characters, and they're going into Germany as Germany's retreating at the end of the war. So you know how like all the countries like pushing in on the borders. So it's like the tank
Smackdown.
As like part of the last push. So it's like through that part of it. Bro, such a good movie.
World War II.
Yeah, and the main character is Brad Pitt, and he absolutely smashes it in this movie. So that is my favorite war movie. It was Saving Private Ryan for a long time, and then I watched that, and I was like, no, this is better. So that's number two that you should watch. And then number three, which is a pretty classic. A lot of people always enjoy this one. And this one's actually been on Netflix for a while, but Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah.
Oh, is that on?
Yeah.
I think that's close to my favorite movie.
It is so good. It's so good. It's an epic, right? That's what they call it. So good. It's so good. All these movies are just so good. So yeah, check those three out. Straight Outta Compton, Fury, and Wolf of Wall Street.
You know it's good when at the drop of a hat you could easily watch it again.
Oh,
you know, I've seen every scene. I'm like, no, I'd happily watch it again.
Easily. Any of those movies.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, missed here, it actually is on, probably fitness related, is that they put 300 on. It's currently number 8 in Australia.
Gerard Butler.
So birth of the 300 workout.
That was one of those workouts I did a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did it start with? Heaps of sit-ups, I remember, right? Or knee raises or something.
I can't remember. I just remember I had really sore abs.
Yeah. Heaps of sit-ups. Some stupid workout. That was the birth of like CrossFit style workouts.
It was.
Like really dumb stuff.
It's got to be one of the only movies that has like really birthed like its whole workout high intensity
okay, regime. So you tell me the... You tell me your other movies. I'm going to look at the 300 workout.
No, yeah. 300 workout, I think I've done it 2 or 3 times. But back in the day when the movie came out, it almost got me training abs, just how good his abs were in the movie.
Oh, that's what it was. 300 reps.
Yeah.
300 reps. We are going back here. So this, the 300 workout, publishing date of this workout, April 13th, 2007. So this is like right...
It's when the movie came out.
It's the first CrossFit Games sort of shit. So let me see what we've got here. So Complete the workout in 18 minutes and 11 seconds. That was the best time. So it is 25 reps of the 25 pull-ups, 50 deadlifts with 135 pounds, 60 kilos, 50 push-ups, 24-inch box jumps, 50 reps, 50 floor wipers. That was the one that cooked us. 50 single arm clean and press with a 36 pound kettlebell, which is only 16 kilos, right? 16 kilos.
The light one.
And then 25 pull-ups. Oh, that's the original. That is so easy.
This is madness.
You know what's crazy? Like back then, it was such a hard... It was like, bro, that is so brutal. Because, you know, everything else was three sets of 10 to 12.
Yeah.
That is a... It's like a fucking warm-up, that workout. I mean, I know it's hard, but it's not that crazy hard.
Yeah, I thought it was harder than this.
Yeah, I thought it was harder as well.
I guess at the time, that was hard. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah. There was no workouts like that back then. 50 reps of a deadlift. You're like, whoa, dude, I do 5x5.
That's what made you realize that doing a work like that doesn't make you look like Gerard Butler.
I think also what you forget is that with a workout like that, it's just one of those things where you have, at that point, you had not been, or at least I hadn't been working out that long, and no one had really worked out in that way, in that style. So, it's like, all that continuous, it's like, whoa, what is this format? Fuck, it's 18 minutes. They would be doing strict pull-ups, though, to be fair.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All those movies need a sequel.
Yeah. It did have a sequel.
Did 300 have a sequel?
Yeah, it was awful. That's why you hear about it. Yeah, yeah. It was so shit.
I guess that's what always happens.
It was terrible. The budget actually never went down.
Good. Oh, really? It was so popular, though.
It was awful. Mm. Yeah, it was awful. Do you have a favorite movie on there? Or just 300?
Nah. Mate, none of the other movies I like, but Wolf of Wall Street is my favorite movie.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, guys. You've got our favorite movies to go as homework for the weekend. And then remember, enter that giveaway and support True Protein by buying some of their products. But guys, as always, we appreciate you listening and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.